Good morning. Thanks for coming up. God said to Moses, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." God gives parents the privilege of teaching the next generation about him. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." God wants children to learn and hear his word. God instructs us to pass his word on to the next generation. At St. Paul's, we strive to equip parents to be spiritual leaders in their families. We do this through programs like Sunday school and Wednesday school and our St. Paul's Elementary School. And we encourage you to be part of it. And Bible information class is there also for parents who are perhaps new to our church. Our ceremony here is both symbolic and practical. As a congregation, we provide a Bible for our first graders, but first we put the Bible in the hands of their parents. This symbolizes that we are equipping the parents to give God's word to their children. Now, in just a second, the parents will say their child's name and hand them their own Bible, both symbolically and literally giving their child the word of God.
Miles Evers.
Jet Griebel.
Lincoln Horn.
Levi Cresson.
If you open up the front cover of your Bible, you should find there a bookmark and a passage. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." When you get back to your pew or when you get home today, I want you to be sure to write your name or print it in there on the first page or cover of your Bible. This is your Bible forever. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us your holy word, the Bible. Thank you also for the gift of parents and other adults who teach children about you. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Amen.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace in Jesus be with you now and always. Amen. The Word of God I'd like to share with you, appointed for this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, reading from chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. I picked this text and this sermon theme 5 months ago, having zero idea what was going to happen. If you take a look at the bulletin or the screen, no pain, no gain. That's true not only with physical therapy, it's true in Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," another word for hell, "will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is God's word, we pray. Lord Jesus, sanctify us by your truth. Your inspired word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear followers of Jesus, it's good to stand in front of you this morning. Seriously. Knew that was going to happen. That's okay. Like Peter said at the transfiguration of Christ, "It is good, Lord, for us to be here." I haven't been able to get to church regularly for a few weeks, so that's why I say that. It's good to be here to praise God for all of the blessings that we do have, to also call on God for forgiveness and for strength. So how was your summer? Get to spend it with friends and family? I pray that you had a good summer. Well, summers in Minnesota are great until they're not. Many of you know that 5 weeks ago, I blew out my knee and completely severed my patella tendon in a strange lawn accident. Who knew that lawn work could be so dangerous? I confess that I did not. After surgery and some healing, you know, I couldn't even lift my right leg off my bed by myself. I needed help every single time. But just look at me now. Everything has changed. Why is that? Oh, you know. God's grace has been with me. God sent me my wife, looked out for me 24 hours a day, and God sent me one more thing, physical therapy. Many of you know how physical therapy works. If you've ever had an injury to your leg, your arm, your back, you know what you have to do. 3 times a day, for several hours a day, I get to do different exercises that strengthen the tendons and the muscles, and I am amazed at how God can use something like that to bring me back. Well, my new home doctor tells me it's going to be about another 10 months I'm going to have to be doing these exercises. He tells me I'll probably be a little slower, but that's okay. I wasn't that fast before. But he did tell me I will get better. That news wasn't given to everyone this week. And if you and I have that ability, wow, do we have extra reason to thank God. But I also want to thank you for your prayers and for your support. I have to confess, I can't bend my knee. It's in a knee immobilizer right now. And when I do bend it, it doesn't feel very good. But like the old saying goes, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain is true of anyone who has ever pushed themselves to the limit. Right now, athletes at Martin Luther College, MVL, or right here in New Ulm Public, they know the meaning of that phrase, no pain, no gain. What I mean is this, they're starting their sports seasons and they're working hard. Their arms are feeling like dead weights, legs like wet noodles. Their lungs, they feel like they're on fire. Anybody here an athlete? Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, you probably do. And for those of us in the past, yeah, we remember what that was like. Well, in our sermon reading from Matthew chapter 16, Jesus isn't just talking about physical therapy patients or athletes in action. He's talking about something much more important. He's talking about the reason why he came to this earth to save the world from sin. And he's also talking about the theme of our service, how the church proclaims Jesus as Lord and Savior. Really, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, no pain, no gain. As you listen to God's word again, I pray that you realize that Christ's pain is our gain. I also hope that you see that earthly pain, yeah, it's heavenly gain. In the words immediately following our sermon reading, Jesus is sharing his busy calendar with his disciples. It's almost as if Jesus whips out his own personal calendar, runs his mighty finger down the days of Holy Week, and it's almost like he's saying, Palm Sunday, ride into Jerusalem, go to Jerusalem. Maundy Thursday, suffer many things. Good Friday, be killed. And on Easter Sunday, be raised to life. Now, all of us have busy schedules. All of us have many important things to do. But nobody had a more important week in history than Jesus did in what I read. Well, shedding a few pounds to lose some weight, that wasn't on Jesus' mind. Shedding the sins of the world was. And the only way to do that was through pain. And it was a worse pain that you or I have ever felt, that anyone has ever felt. Oh no, if Jesus didn't go through the pain of saving the world from sin, then you and I would have to experience that pain. We owe God that pain because of the sins that we're born with, the sins that we do every day. Take a closer look at yourself. I mean, all of us have snacked on the sin of gossip. You know, sharing those things and our frustrations about someone else. Maybe it was even a friend, a family member, a classmate, a coworker. Why do we do such things? It's because we want to make ourselves feel just a little bit better. All of us have binged on the sin of complaining, when truthfully, we've had it pretty good. All of us, that means you and me, deserve to be left alone by God in the fires of hell, trying to pay off a debt we never will, for all of our sins of stubbornness and selfishness for all eternity. But take a closer look at Matthew chapter 16, because I think you might miss a word there, and that word is must. God didn't write Jesus' schedule down in pencil so that any of it could be erased. No, he wrote it down in permanent marker so that it would never be changed. Listen to this and how it makes a difference. Jesus must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He must be killed and be raised again. He must have the pain. Pain wasn't an option for Jesus. It was literally a necessity. If God's Son could make up for the sins of us, the sins of the whole world, and he did it. Jesus did, through his pain, pay for the sins of the world at his cross. It's a done deal. It's an accomplished fact. It is finished. That's good news. That's gospel news that you and I need every day of our lives. But not everyone believes it. Not everyone recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe you didn't know this, but at the time of our reading in Matthew chapter 16, even though Jesus demonstrated that he is God's Son by his many miracles, many people were leaving Jesus. Why? Why would anyone ever leave Jesus? Simple answer. It's hard. It's hard to listen to Jesus week in, week out. It's hard to love the people that Jesus tells us to love, to forgive the people Jesus tells us to forgive. It's hard to give Jesus the best of everything we have. It's a lot easier to do the bare minimum, to be able to just give the leftovers. It's hard to look in the mirror of God's law, to see our sins, to repent of them, and to leave those sins behind. So how is that ever going to happen? Oh, Jesus explains. He refocuses all of us on his identity. And he asks this simple question. He says in our reading, who do people say the Son of Man is? Oh, they have an answer for him. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, we've never been confused with one of those legendary prophets, have we? Oh, but Jesus was. And calling Jesus a great teacher, a great prophet, that sounds like a great compliment. But quite honestly, just knowing those facts about Jesus isn't going to get anyone into the kingdom of heaven. We need to know more. And that's why Jesus gave his apostles another chance. He got more personal. He gets more personal with us today and asks, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? How would you answer? Oh, good question, Jesus. That's not a question you can avoid or ignore. It's a question every single one of us will have to answer. So who has the right answer? Peter did. Listen to this. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Bingo. Peter speaks not only for himself and the disciples, but for us and for every sinner for all time as a beautiful model of faith. Peter knew who Jesus was, now more than a prophet and a teacher, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who came to save him from his sins. By faith, he knew that Christ's pain is our gain. That means something to us today. It means that every sin that dragged us through the church door is forgiven by God, forgotten forever. Now, how did Peter know all this? Jesus explains, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." In other words, Peter, of course, didn't figure all this out on his own. God gave him that answer. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the working of someone somewhere along the way who shared who Jesus was with Peter. In fact, in this case, it was Jesus himself. He gave the right answer. But God loves you and me so much, he gives us what to say and what to believe about Jesus. But then Jesus adds this sentence, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." From the Greek words that Jesus uses here, Jesus wasn't saying he was going to build his church on Peter. Why would you do that on a sinful person? No, he wasn't building it on the person, but on the confession of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's the same Christian confession that you and I are giving today, whether it's here in this service, in our school, in a hospital, yes, even on a deathbed. Our children believe, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." No pain, no gain. Now you know, Christ's pain is our gain. And finally, notice how Jesus ends our reading. He says, "The gates of Hades," or hell, "will not overcome it, and that sure is good to know in our darkest days." Do you ever feel like there are times in your life when hell is going to win and heaven is going to lose? Do you ever just look up in heaven and say, "Does anybody up there like me in a frustrating moment?" You know the answer. God just doesn't like you. He loves you. And yes, we need to remember that in our darkest days, when someone lets us down, when we experience a medical emergency, even on our deathbed, Jesus says the gates of hell will not overcome it. Oh, what good news. You know, in the Bible, Jesus promised to take away our sins, but you know, he's never promised to take away our earthly pain this side of heaven. In fact, it's going to be the opposite. Instead of taking away our pain, we're often going to have to go through hardship, go through trouble. It's not just going to be inconvenient. Yes, even as believers, it's going to hurt. Believe me, I know. But St. Paul was right on the nose when he said in Acts chapter 14, and please remember this, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." You know, being out for a number of weeks, I had a lot of time to think, what good is pain? And this is what I've realized. Sometimes earthly pain leads us to fall on our knees and call out to God for help. Sometimes earthly pain leads us to let go of all of our earthly security, thinking we don't need God, that our health, our wealth, or someone here in this world is going to help us. God strips all of that away in our earthly pain. But sometimes earthly pain just reminds us to long for heaven. Yes, earthly pain literally becomes heavenly gain. The great C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Aim for heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim for only earth and you miss out on both." If we focus on getting ourselves to heaven and those that we love through Jesus, God promises to give us heaven as a gift. And life now takes on real meaning and real purpose. But it will involve pain. Patients like me in physical therapy, we get that. And for us, it's totally worth it. But those who know Christ and know his pain, we agree with the Apostle Paul, who compared everything to what we're getting in heaven. And he concluded this in Romans chapter 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Is heaven worth it? Every day of the week. So let's live every day like that's true, because it is. Amen.